KPOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Well, happy Monday and welcome into The Talk of Emporia. Tegan Trehune, your host here today, as we are being brought to you, as always, in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Enjoy great-tasting barbecue dinner specials Monday through Saturday at Bobby D's, where it's all about the meat. And Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever before. That is Newman Regional Health. Well, it is the third Monday of the month of June, isn't it?
Third Monday, okay. Now, is it? It was news to me about 10 minutes ago, but yeah, I'm here.
Did I check my calendar wrong?
No.
I think you didn't. But
I didn't, but you know, that's...
Well, as you can tell, it's the third Monday of the month, which means we have the good old city manager of Emporia, Trey Cocking, who happened to decide to make his way into the studios today. I wasn't going to bring it up, but...
You know, I'll call myself out, you know.
I think I called you about 10:55, because usually you're here about 10 minutes early, and I said, hey, are you on your way? You go, oh, I'm supposed to be down there. But in fairness, it's been a busy couple of weeks.
It's been a busy couple of weeks, and this is a weird week. And, you know, yeah. We have City Commission tomorrow instead of Wednesday, so it just kind of throws it all off.
It's weird, but in a good way. We've got the Juneteenth holiday coming up on Wednesday.
So city offices are closed on Wednesday.
Yep.
This would be the second year we've made that change. And I would remind folks that county, court, and most banks are going to be closed on Wednesday as well. So just kind of plan ahead that... It's going to be a weird Wednesday, but those normal stops may not be available this Wednesday.
It's going to be a change, because it is still a relatively new national holiday in Juneteenth, and it's going to take time, I think, for people to get used to that. But, you know, I'll be the first one to say it. Get used to it.
No, get used to it, and, you know, I think it's powerful. You know, I've spent a lot of time around learning about Juneteenth, and you know, it took 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was done by President Lincoln before the word reached the slaves in Galveston, Texas. I think that was the last the enslaved folks in Galveston, Texas, that they were no longer property, but, you know, they were free. And, you know, that's the celebration, that we're all free. It took 2 years. We didn't have X. Trying to say X instead of Twitter and Facebook and social media to learn about things instantly. But
yeah, word didn't travel quite as fast.
Word did not travel. But it took a long time. But, you know, I think we should all reflect on what it means to be free, what it means not to have to serve another man, that we are all in charge of our own destiny in this country. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage folks Wednesday, regardless of whether you have the day off or not, to take a second and reflect about our freedom and reflect about what that means.
Reflect how we've evolved over years, you know, in the many hundreds of years since that time, but maybe how we can still continue to evolve and grow. And, you know, I've always found it interesting and somewhat poetic that Juneteenth falls in Pride Month.
Yeah.
You know, we celebrate two demographics who have been historically treaded on in many ways just because of something they didn't choose. You know, you don't choose the color of your skin. You don't choose who you love. You know, some would disagree with the second part of that. But, you know, speaking from experience, you love who you love. And I think it's beautiful how the city has really gotten behind both of these efforts. And, of course, was it 2 weeks ago now?
2 weeks ago.
Time's flying by so fast.
It is, yeah.
The city issuing the second proclamation for recognizing Pride Month here, and much appreciation there for you guys doing that. Thank you so much.
No, and I would say, you know, both things, you know, changed in the last 2 years. You know, a recognition of both that Juneteenth is important to our country, important to our city, and that... Pride Month is important to members of our city who, and I think that both communities have traditionally felt marginalized.
Yeah.
And how can we be inclusive going forward? And how can we let them know that this is their Emporia? This is all of our Emporia. And to malign and marginalize people is not the way to advance a community, but to be supportive and to have safe places is hugely important for our community. And to let people know that they can be who they are. Yeah. I think it just speaks a lot, and I think it shows how much we have grown, how much we've came forward, and just, you know, and I think for any of us, it's a learning experience, and it's a dialogue that we can have with people, and we can reach out, and, you know, it's when things seem foreign and unfamiliar, it is amazing that when you sit down, when you engage somebody in a conversation, you know, here's what I will tell you. In my life is even the people I have most adamantly disagreed with, if you can get to the point that you can break down, sit down with them, break bread with them, have a drink with them, you'll find out really honestly, we agree on about 90% of the topics out there. And yes, we have those things that separate us, make us different. But if we focus on those things, you know, we drive us together. Where if we focus on our commonalities and also recognize that you can be different, I can be me, mm-hmm. you know, and that's okay.
Well, I think a lot of people have gone from feeling like Pride and Juneteenth and other holidays and other times of the year celebrating people of different backgrounds and ethnicities. It's not a guilt trip, as some people, I think, look at it. They're trying to say that people are trying to make them feel guilty for thinking the way that they do. That's not what it is at all. And I think that that's starting to become more common knowledge, and that people realize it's not a time for shaming or guilting or pointing a finger at you did this and I did this and I'm this and you were that. It's a time for love, and it's a time for understanding and reflection on just how we can be better people. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people like to use biblical references, and, you know, that's
for both subjects.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the Bible is something that can be very useful in that, and just that, you know, you don't judge. You love everybody, and, you know, no person is without sin, I think, is a very important thing. You know, everybody has their faults and everybody has their mistakes, but you shouldn't have to live with it. You should learn and grow from it. And whether it was you who did it or it was people from the past who did it, you know, I love that you said, reflect, look back on the mistakes or the missteps of others so you don't make the same ones. You know, they say those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you may not have the degree, you know, I don't see slavery repeating itself, hopefully.
Yeah.
But how do we treat people? How do we, you know, and I think on both, when there is, you know, I think slavery persisted in this country because we viewed people as not as subhuman or not on the same level, mm-hmm. where, you know, we have quickly found out that we're all humans. We all have the same needs. We all have the same, you know, we're the same flesh and blood, you know, and that whether that's LGBTQ or whether that is enslaved folks, you know, we can't treat folks differently. We can't treat them like they're subhuman. They're not part of us, that they can't be. We have to treat everybody like we want to be treated. And I think that's probably one of those biggest things that you can grab.
I said during the Pride Proclamation a few weeks back, you know, you all came up to me specifically and asked if I was going to be submitting for a Pride Proclamation. And while I know the intention was trying to get the schedule fleshed out, that was probably the main intention. What I had said was, that means you're now expecting me to do that. You're expecting people to step up and do that. It's become an expectation, which, you know, growing up in Emporia when I was a young man, and I mean this in no way disrespectfully to my hometown. I'm very proud to be from Emporia. I love being from here. I think this is one of the greatest communities in the world. And, you know, if anybody disagrees with me, I'd love to sit down and talk with you about it and explain why. But there were times where it didn't always feel safe, depending on how you identified or who you were, just like anywhere in the world. And I had said a few weeks ago, I never thought that we'd see a Pride celebration here. And I know there's a lot of other people who feel that same way. Never thought we'd see a drag show here. I never thought that we would see a Pride proclamation from the city, you know. And I think it goes really to commend you, Trey, your staff, and the city commissioners who, you know, you want to sit there and say everybody thinks the right way or thinks the same way. You know that's not true. But nobody backed down. Nobody stood away from that and said, we're not going to support this just because of my beliefs. Everybody, I think, is supporting the fact that we all have the right to be happy.
Well, and, you know, I would say it's probably a year ago, another step that the city commission has taken is we added LGBT protections to our employment and our housing ordinances. So all we're simply saying is just because somebody is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, they shouldn't be denied employment and they shouldn't be denied housing. You know, I think that's a pretty basic standard, but, you know, that's been met with fierce resistance in other communities when that happened here. We didn't have any resistance, and I'm thankful because all we're saying at the end of the day is just because somebody is, you know, a member, you know, is LGBT.
Just because somebody's queer, I'll say it for you.
Oh, there you go.
You're welcome. I got you. I got you.
I appreciate it.
I'm allowed to say it.
No, but
it's okay.
You know, yeah, just because somebody's, they shouldn't be denied employment or housing. Yeah. And I think that's pretty universal. You know,
yeah.
Folks need a safe, if folks can afford a rent payment, they should be able to live in that house.
I agree.
If folks are the best candidate for your job, they should absolutely have that job.
Yeah.
And regardless of their orientation or gender.
Well, and for those who are maybe tuning in and heard me use what some people used to refer to as the Q word, you know, that's something I was talking with somebody else about the other day, in that we have changed our vocabulary as well. And, you know, people of the queer community, you know, which includes myself, you know, we're taking words back, you know. Now, there's, again, certainly words that we would prefer you not use, which I won't utter on here, but, you know, it's amazing the shift in thinking that people who have been through these kinds of things, how they take back some of the power that they had lost or didn't have, you know. And obviously I can't speak from the perspective of a person of color, but, you know, just from my own experiences growing up with my own identity and things like that, you know, it's amazing to see how people have taken what was supposed to be hate-filled and have somehow managed to turn it into a positive. And I think that speaks to the spirit of both Juneteenth and the month of June as Pride Month, in that we're not trying to promote the tragedies of the past so much as we're trying to build off of that. We're trying to show that there is a brighter future, and it all starts with love and acceptance.
Well, absolutely. You know, and going back to Juneteenth, it's a celebration that slavery is over.
Yeah.
It's not we had slavery. It's that chapter of American history ended. So let's celebrate the ending of that chapter, you know. And, you know, same with Pride Month. It is that people can be their authentic selves, and we're going to allow them to be their authentic selves, and we're not going to force them
I would say it used to be allow them, but I think now encourage and promote, you know, but I see where you're coming from.
Well, I'm just saying we're not forcing them to live in the shadows like we did for a long time.
Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia, the monthly Q&A with Trey, as I feel like that was a pretty solid conversation for kind of on the fly right there. So I appreciate you indulging me on that one, Trey. And we got a few more things we want to cover here before we wrap things up, starting with the Strategic Economic Study, which is underway through the city of Emporia. There's been a little controversy around that as of late. We got some perspectives from city commissioners and RDA representatives the last couple of weeks, and we'd love to get your thoughts on that. So we're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll get Trey's thoughts on that study right after this timeout, brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
Hi, this is Dr. Matthew Turner. I'm proud to have been serving Lyon and surrounding counties as a general surgeon at Newman Regional Health for the past 12 years. I'm experienced in minimally invasive procedures, including laparoscopy and robotic surgery using the Da Vinci surgical system. Some of the services we provide include hernia repair, breast surgery, skin surgery, appendectomies, and gallbladder surgery. Looking for a general surgeon you can trust? Talk to your primary care provider about staying local here in Emporia at Newman Regional Health.
Dining out tonight or wanting food to go? How about Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue? Home of the best smoked meats, from ribs to brisket to pulled pork and more. Plenty of sides to choose from, including their famous cheesy potatoes. Enjoy tonight's dinner special. A brisket dinner that includes 8 ounces of thick, hand-carved, slowly smoked brisket, along with your choice of two sides, all for just $12.25. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, where it's all about the meat.
Follow your Kansas City Royals all season long on 96.9 FM and 14 KVOE, live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia, the monthly Q&A with Trey segment. Tegan Trehun with Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking here today, who found the time to make it into the door, so we appreciate
hey.
That. I'm just doing
happy
what you would
here.
Do to me.
Absolutely.
No, but we are glad you're here. And if you just tuned in, great conversation, really, on the city's backing of Juneteenth and Pride Month here in the city of Emporia. A lot of growth, I think, especially in recent years, over the last decade plus, I think a lot of people have shifted their way of thinking. Not to agree or disagree with certain things that maybe they don't agree or disagree with, but at least have all come to the common agreement that people just deserve to be people and live their lives.
Yeah.
And I will say, as somebody who grew up in a time where that wasn't always the case, I'm very proud of our city. You know, we've had the Pride Festival for about 4 years now, and never have we had any severe issues, no problems. You know, occasional person might walk by and make a comment, but been very well done. So really deserve a round of applause, does the city of Emporia. So I appreciate
that. Thank you for those kind words, Tegan.
Of course. Well, something that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, you know, we kind of held off on this story for a little bit when it first kind of came out, not because of anything controversial. We just kind of wanted to see how things were going to play out here, because there was, I think, some misconceptions and misunderstandings with this strategic economic study that's underway currently through Vision First Advisors. I guess, Trey, from your perspective, from my perspective at least, it seemed like the misconception was this was an effort to get rid of certain organizations like the RDA or Emporia Enterprises, and I think some people had that impression. From your perspective, you know, did you kind of feel like that was maybe the misinterpretation?
Yeah, you know, I want to back up to 30,000 feet and just really talk about, you know, I think for us as a community, I think we have struggled to define what economic development is. I think you go back 30 years ago, you know, when we first really got into it, when they passed the economic development sales tax, when we were trying to attract Cessna in town, economic development was really industrial development, trying to find factories to locate to the area, because that's what we thought economic development was. It was getting factories in, creating jobs via factories. And, you know, I think if folks look at our country over the last 30 years, we understand we have offshored more and more manufacturing, right, wrong, and different. But, you know, that's what we've done as a country. And it is harder and harder to be dependent on manufacturing, especially in today's, not just offshoring, but in today's age of robotics, where all of a sudden we're finding robots that can do the work of 5, 10, 20 people. So what is economic development going forward? How do we look at the disc golf and gravel bike racing as part of economic development? How do we look at the service economy as part of the economic development? How do we look at our two educational institutions between Emporia State and Flint Hills Tech College as part of economic development? So what does economic development go forward, and how do we have a framework for evaluating economic development opportunities?
So basically, how does every resource play a role in the economic development strategy rather than just simply looking at it as bringing in new businesses? Is that fair?
Correct. And then, you know, when we look at how we do economic development in the city, we kind of have Regional Development Association of East Central Kansas, RDA, they have focused on industrial development,
right,
but they've kind of wavered into other areas. Then you have, I'm going to call it the city manager's office. This is kind of what Jim Witt has done for years, and that's retail development.
Right.
So that's going to be, you know, the pavilions, projects like that. That wasn't something RDA wanted to grab on. Then we have Main Street, which is looking primarily at downtown area, but really small business. How can we incubate those small businesses and grow them? And then we have Visit Emporia, which is promoting tourism, hotels, but trying to attract people to town. And then you bring in Emporia Enterprises, which is kind of a legacy group, which I've been told has existed since the first industrial park, which would have been on the west side of town, Hostess area, Modine area back there. And how do you – so you had that first industrial park, and that was where kind of business owners in the community all put up some money to buy industrial land with. Well, since we've had the sales tax since 93, that responsibility for buying land has fallen more and more upon the city through the sales tax. Most recently, in 21, they bought that land from the Smoots for Industrial Park 3 expansion. But how do we deal with land for economic development purposes? And then we also have the chamber, which is business promotion and that sort of thing. So we have all of these different entities, and how do they work together? How do we know what everybody's kind of lane is, and where should they, what functions and which pieces should they be trying to fulfill and trying to avoid as much as possible that overlap? At times you're going to have some overlap, but, you know, really we know that economic development works the best where everybody kind of has a clear lane to operate on.
So basically it's just clearing up any questions as to whose role is whose, but how can each organization's role help accentuate the others?
Yeah.
Kind of get out of each other's way, but help build the path together.
Yes.
So,
and, you know, making sure that, you know, we never want to put somebody into the vicious phone circle. Oh, you're calling about that. You need to call Tegan. And Tegan calls and says, oh, you need to talk to Aaron. You need to talk to so-and-so. But, you know, how do we get them in the right place? Maybe they don't make the right call the first time, but how do we know whoever talks to them, whether it's the chamber, whether it's the city manager's office, whether it's RDA, Main Street, they know where the best person to work with is.
Help create a more direct line of communication, which eventually leads to the benefits to the community through economic development.
Correct.
So it seems like the three points I'm getting from here is, how does everyone coexist? How do we implement resources into the economic development scene? And how do we increase communication both with outside agencies and internal agencies?
Yeah. And and the last one I will mention is, what is the best practice for deploying economic development incentives? You know, so we have some cash that we've used, you know, we've given away free land, we've utilized state programs, but is that the best for leveraging our success? You know, there's been a lot of conversations about how do we attract more small businesses and, you know, I'm going to say electricians, plumbers, contractors, how do we get more of those folks in town? And, you know, should we be leveraging economic development dollars to do that? I don't know what the answer is, but right. I think that's going to be part of the conversation going forward, is how do we stitch it all together and how do we have a thriving community?
Well, and again, just from my vantage point, and again, this is just my perception. When I first heard about this, I was a little confused. I thought the plan was to do away with the RDA just from what I had heard. And then, you know, I sat in on the actual conversations and it became a little more clear of, okay, it's not that the city is looking to get rid of anyone. It's more just how can each role be enhanced? You know, it seems like there is not a single agency that you listed that doesn't have a part to play. It's just making sure those parts are clearly defined so that, you know, when it's time for Romeo to come out on stage and meet Juliet, you don't have two actors running out into the same role because they weren't told which one's theirs.
Absolutely. And, you know, making sure, like with our RDA board, do we have the right people who help that board to be successful in place? You know, are we leveraging county resources? Do we make sure we have county participation to leverage county resources? We're utilizing city resources. Do we have enough city participation to leverage those city resources? And then, you know, we also need that business community voice in there, so need to make sure it all flows. We also need to make sure, you know, I went back to Emporia Enterprises, which traditionally has owned the land and RDA, making sure that if we do have an industrial prospect that we know we have the land available and that they're working back and forth to make sure that we have adequate land and that we have to go out, you know, because if we don't have 1,000 acres of land, then there's no reason to go out and recruit an employer that's going to need 1,000 acres.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge piece of land.
Fair enough.
But, you know, we have to be on the same page. So we're not going to go out. We're not going to waste our time and resources trying to recruit this huge company that wants 1,000 acres when there's no way to stitch together 1,000 acres.
And, you know, before we go to our final break, I think, you know, I talked to RDA board chair Kayla Maxfield Friday after their conversations. And it seems like the only thing that they really want, they just want to make sure that their input is heard. They are allowed to, you know, kind of have some something to say with this so that the outcomes of this study benefits everybody.
Absolutely. You know, I think if you look back over the 30 years of RDA's history, they've been very successful at times and have done a lot of good for Emporia. But it's just, you know, now as we're going pretty much moving from one generation to the next generation, how do we ensure that we have those same pieces, recognizing that economic development is not what it was 30 years ago? So, you know, it is always a good time, especially after a 30-year period, to kind of pause, reflect, and make sure we have a great path for the next time horizon.
You know, I think Jamie Souter had made a good point. He goes, we don't want to do away with the RDA. We just want to evolve it. We want the RDA on steroids. They want to make it stronger and they want to make it better, you know. And I think that's kind of the point that is just maybe got lost a little bit in translation when this all started.
Yeah.
So we're going to take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we'll be previewing tomorrow's special Emporia City Commission study and action sessions, as they'll be meeting a day earlier. Last time we met, it was 2 days later, so you guys are just keeping us on our toes over
there. Yeah, and we're going to be early in July, July 2nd instead of the 3rd, so another Tuesday.
Come on, Trey. You're killing me right
now. Then we'll be back to Wednesdays.
Uh-huh, yeah. I'll believe that when I see it. Final break here on the Talk of Emporia, coming back with our Q&A with Trey, City Manager Trey Cocking, joining us here in the KVOE studios. Again, Talk of Emporia being brought to you, as always, in part by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
Dining out tonight or wanting food to go? How about Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue? Home of the best smoked meats, from ribs to brisket to pulled pork and more. Plenty of sides to choose from, including their famous cheesy potatoes. Enjoy tonight's dinner special, a brisket dinner that includes 8 ounces of thick, hand-carved, slowly smoked brisket, along with your choice of two sides, all for just $12.25. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, where it's all about the meat.
Hi, this is Dr. Matthew Turner. I'm proud to have been serving Lyon and surrounding counties as a general surgeon at Newman Regional Health for the past 12 years. I'm experienced in minimally invasive procedures, including laparoscopy and robotic surgery using the Da Vinci surgical system. Some of the services we provide include hernia repair, breast surgery, skin surgery, appendectomies, and gallbladder surgery. Looking for a general surgeon you can trust? Talk to your primary care provider about staying local here in Emporia at Newman Regional Health.
Win 3 large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Register today at kvoe.com/at work. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live, win free pizza and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia, the monthly Q&A with Trey, Tegan Trahoon, joined in the KVOE studios by Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking. As we've covered quite a bit here, of course, as Trey had mentioned, all month long, but really on Wednesday, you know, Juneteenth, we invite everybody to take a moment and, you know, just reflect on the change that we've seen across our country and really, I would say, across the world in a lot of ways over the last several decades and centuries. You know, the abolishment of slavery, and then, of course, the acceptance and inclusion of people of varied identities and sexualities with the month of Pride, and just remembering that it's not about who's right, who's wrong, or who's on the right side of history or the wrong side of history. It's really all about people deserve to be people.
You know, I guess the one thing I would say is, folks are out there, take a moment and talk to somebody. Mm. You know, whether they are ultra-conservative, your ultra-conservative uncle, or whether they're, or in my case, my aunt, or, you know, whether it is, you know, somebody that you have just learned, some member of the LGBT community, take a second and talk to them. You know, try to go for that understanding. We had to, we're looking at five words that meant something out of like 200 we had to pick from today. And understanding was one of those that I picked as one of my core values. Because I, as I've been in this profession, you know, close, I guess, 20 years now, is that very rarely is somebody just wrong. Mm-hmm. Most people are guided by a principle. They're guided by something. And lots of times if we just take a second and come and try to understand them, we may not agree with them, but at least have their perspective. And, you know, you until you walk a mile in somebody's shoes or heels, it may be hard to understand what's going on with them.
I like that you use the heels reference. That was nice. I will say, you know, I've always made the comment that you can never fully understand an argument unless you understand both sides. And understanding both sides, let me be very clear, does not mean you agree. It just means you're informed.
You've looked at both sides.
Exactly.
You've tried to understand it. You've tried to understand the other person's perspective. And normally it moves you closer to a middle ground versus further apart.
Yeah. Just asking someone their opinion doesn't mean that you agree with that opinion. It just means that you understand why they think the way they do or how they feel the way they do. And you know what? I have a lot of friends, very dear, good friends who I know I could call on a moment's notice and would be at my door to help me in any situation, who we vehemently disagree on many things. I mean, could not be further on the spectrum. And it's never been an issue. We talk about it, you know, and we try to understand. I've never shouted at them. I've never screamed at them. I've never called them a name. We've never – okay, well, not like a name like in seriousness, you know, like jokingly. But never has there been any kind of physicality or animosity. We just talk.
And, you know, it is so easy. I'm going to say go to that sports team metaphor. Yeah. I'm a Chiefs fan. You're a Raiders fan. We're going to see every call through those lens.
Yeah.
Well, you know – when I watch a football game where the Chiefs aren't playing, I'm a lot more objective than I am. And sometimes you have to pull back
the reins a little
and
bit.
Say, okay, that was a fumble. Kelsey fumbled it. I mean, he did.
It's amazing once the game's over and your team's won, you will sit there and admit that too.
Yeah.
It's funny. When it's not the heat of battle, you're more willing to open up and talk about it. I try to be objective even when my team's playing and say, yeah, no, that was clearly a fumble. That was clearly an offsides. But part of you just doesn't want to because you're afraid of what people will think of you if you don't side with your team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no, I'm not going to sit there with my dad and say, oh, that's clearly a fumble, Dad, because, you know, he's a very passionate Chiefs fan, so...
Well, Trey, you know, I think a lot of great conversation here today. Before we let you go, though, did want to talk very quickly. One of the big items for tomorrow's city commission meeting, well, there'll be two, really. It'll be rezoning for some property, one for Southwick House.
Yeah, conditional use permit for Southwick House. You know, if folks have questions about that, I would encourage them to get online, look at the information in the planning and zoning packet. Look in the city commission packet. I really think they have developed a great facility that is going to go well with that neighborhood and is going to be very supportive of the needs of the community.
Basically, they have a great plan.
They do have a good plan. They've worked hard on it, you know, and they were able to secure land, which, you know, one of those things that, well, why don't they do it here? I'll tell you, having been here 2.5 years, trying to buy a piece of property is difficult, especially at an affordable price. So, you know, that's why decisions are made lots of times, because you have an available piece of property where folks can buy something, do something. And, you know, that's why Southwick House is in that location, because that's where they were able to find a property. Planning and zoning commissioners looked at it, and they voted unanimously to forward that recommendation to the city commission. So I think it's a good project. And the other project that we have on there is Fire Station Number 1. Folks who've listened to the show know that the existing Fire Station Number 1 is in Civic Auditorium, which was built in 1941. There's a lot of space in that building that we're able to reconfigure and bring up to modern standards. But making that space work for a modern fire department just does not work. Yeah. Number one is safety. We have found out, especially in the last 10, 15 years, is that we're exposing firefighters to a lot of carcinogens, and when they get back from a call, we need to get them clean, need to get them washed, and we can't have them bringing those contaminations into the firehouse. So that's what we're trying to do there, so that they have to rezone that. So they're going to look at that tomorrow, and then we also have to find that the 1962 building there is not of enough of a historical nature that it can't be torn down. So, you know, I think when we created the historical district there, we were really looking at those buildings, such as the Cap Fed building and the Crest Center, that are really, you know, pre-World War II, pre-World War I in some cases, and a, you know, 1960s structure really doesn't fall into that same level of historical protection.
Absolutely. So one more hurdle to really kind of clear on that, and then the real work can get underway.
Yeah.
So.
And I will tell you, I think we're going to have a schematic there tomorrow for folks to see. They've really crafted a great looking station, and I think it's, you know, I think folks, the fire station's going to look much better than that existing old workforce building that's been there, and it will really blend into the neighborhood more than that existing building.
Absolutely. Well, Trey, we appreciate you as always making the time to come in here, you know, give you a little bit of a hassle, a little bit of a joke, but we do appreciate it. We know how busy you are, and the fact that we've only ever had to call you one time, I think, speaks to the fact that, how much you appreciate the opportunity to come in here and talk. So we thank you for that, and just thank you for giving us a little bit of time out of your day. I know it's going to be a busy, busy, busy couple of days, so thanks for making the time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for all your hard work, Tegan.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That is City Manager Trey Cocking of the City of Emporia joining us on the monthly Q&A with Trey segment. Trey will be back in the studios next month with more on city operations and updates. But until then, we're going to wrap things up here today. Just remind everybody, please take some time, reflect on history, reflect on love, and reflect on how we can help make the world better for everybody moving forward here over the next month, and especially on Wednesday, which is the Juneteenth holiday. For Trey Cocking, I'm Tegan Troon. Sean Thornton, our board op, thank you very much for that today. Of course, our Talk of Emporia being brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health. We have the 12 o'clock block of news and information coming up here shortly on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com, live and local.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.